Thank you for having me.
Sure.
So I definitely have a lot of questions for you. And
Okay.
just to make sure I have my facts correctly, you are owner of Salsa Heat, but you're also founder of Salsa Heat Studios,
correct.
Right?
Correct.
Okay. So the first thing I wanted to ask you is, how did you start dancing and why? I kind of wanted to get your story of how it all came about, you know, and understand like what your personal journey has been prior to, you know, transitioning into the business world.
Yeah. Wow, how many hours you got? Well, I started, I think I probably started when I used to live in Connecticut. My father was in, him and his brothers were in a band for years, like 30, 40 years. So he played the saxophone. So I remember going to him on gigs and they played, you know, they would play cha-chas and rumbas and boleros and stuff like that. So. And I always loved big band sounds with a lot of brass instruments like, you know, Sinatra, Tony Bennett, Count Basie Orchestra. So I love that big band sound, the horn section. And I remember in Connecticut, I was dating a girl. I must have been about 19, 20 years old. She was from Nicaragua. And we went on a couple of dates. And I remember she asked me one time, she's like, hey, you want to go and dance in salsa one night? And I didn't know what that was, really. I was unfamiliar with it. I kind of heard. I just thought it was a cultural thing. I'm like, okay, sure. So she took me to this club, our first, this was like our second date. And man, I just, right away, when I walked into that club, I just fell in love with the music. I remember this one couple was out there dancing and this guy was so smooth. He was smooth as butter. And I just kept staring at him like, what the heck is this that they're doing? I was just taken in by it. And I remember her just kept nudging me like, you're all right. And I'm just like, I was just so attention. I was just fixated on this couple. I wasn't even paying attention to her. So it was kind of funny. And then I was like, what is that? She's like, oh, this is salsa. She was like, I could teach you the basics, you know? So I remember going back to her, later we went back to her apartment. And I remember in her living room, this little apartment in New Haven, Connecticut, and she was teaching me just basic steps, you know, basic how to rock step side to side. And it just kind of took off from there. And then later on, I moved to South Florida and I started teaching ballroom dancing. And I was teaching mambo, which is very similar to salsa. And I taught some group classes down there. We would go out dancing every night. And that's how I just fell in love with it. And it was every night out there dancing in Miami, Fort Lauderdale. I used to live down there. And I had a group of friends. We all used to meet out at the clubs, dance until 4 a.m. And just that passion and love for it, that's how it started. And then later on, I moved up to, I was working for a company down there doing some accounting work because I have a degree in finance. And then I moved up here. I got transferred on a job. One of my bosses had a company up here. I was leasing machine tools. And when I got up here, there was really no salsa community. It was very small. You know, there was only a dozen or so people that knew how to dance back then. And that's how I started. I just started putting some flyers out. I wanted to grow the community here a little bit because I kind of missed the community down there because I left down there and I had so many friends and I was so bummed out because I just loved salsa so much and there was really not much here in Orlando at the time. And that's when I just started with some small group classes in Maitland about 25 years ago. September 1999 when I first started. Yeah, that's how I got started into it.
So then up until 1999, how many years have you been dancing at that point? And kind of what gave you that confidence to start the business? Because that's a big endeavor to take.
It was very slow. Yeah, no, I didn't. I mean, we just went out dancing when I was in my teens and stuff. We just went out dancing, you know, just like the clubs. And I did a little bit of hustle because, you know, but it was really when I came down here is when I really started. I was a culture shock. Moving from Connecticut to South Florida is quite a culture shock because, you know, I grew up in a small, you know, mostly Italian, white, I guess you could say, town. And I didn't know too much about, you know, the Latin culture or salsa. But it was a total culture shock when I moved down to South Florida, when I moved to Fort Lauderdale. And that's when I just fell in love with everything, the music, the culture. I just loved it, the salsa. I mean, I was hooked. I was hooked on it. And then I took group classes down there. And as I was teaching ballroom dancing, I took some group classes as well on the side. I was learning Casino Herrera. Mm-hmm. That was the big thing down there. So that's how that started. And then, you know, I was teaching during the day ballroom dancing, mostly mambo and stuff and ballroom dances and going out dancing at night. So, Okay. Yeah.
Can you share Salsa Heat Studio evolution from the beginning to now? So obviously, because you have multiple locations mm-hmm. now, and then you have many instructors, and there's a lot of things going on now. So what it's been like, the journey of going from, that starting those lessons in 1999 to now, like, really yeah. curious to know.
Yeah, well, I originally, when I came up here, I was new to the area. So like I said, I just love salsa, and there was really, we used to meet out at Roxy's on Wednesday night. Anybody would know that's been here in the 90s. That was a spot. Everybody went there, and there was just a small group of dancers there, and I just wanted to grow the community. So I just started. I was like, it was more to meet friends too, because I didn't know anybody. I was new to the area. Right. So I was like, this is a great way to build the community, but just meet people, because I was so bummed when I first moved up here, because I missed it. I just missed everything about salsa and the dancers, my friends that were down there. So, and that's how it started. And then I didn't anticipate that it was going to blossom into this. I really didn't. I just was doing it for fun more. And just for some entertainment, because I work 9-to-5 job, just like most people. Mm-hmm. And I taught Tuesday and Thursday, the same nights we teach now in Maitland. And it was just more of a fun thing, just to meet people and hang out and meet some new friends. And, and then it just slowly blossomed and took off. I had no anticipation it would be this big, really. So,
did you see the need in other areas to open up a studio? Was there like an intentional kind of effort on your part to figure out the needs of that community, or did you just want to expand the business further? Like, what was the rationale for opening so many studios?
Yeah, I mean, well, we started in Maitland, and I would just get a lot of calls where people were like, hey, do you guys teach in Kissimmee? Why don't you open one down here? And there was just a demand for it. Because people were driving in from all over to come to the classes up at that time.
Right.
And even in East Orlando here, and even the west side of Orlando. And that's when I then opened up. We started over here then. We opened up the smaller studio here. And that was doing well. And then we were teaching down in Kissimmee. We taught at the BVL Community Center down in Kissimmee. And then we later moved to the location we're in now. But it was just the demand for it. So I was like, why not? People want to learn. Let's grow the community. And, and it's huge now. I can't believe how Orlando has grown over the years. Amazing.
Yeah. I can only imagine you seeing it from the evolution from there to now.
When I'm telling you, man, Wednesday night is when the dancers went out. I mean, there was dancers that kind of danced like the street style, but there was maybe, I would say, a half a dozen to a dozen, like, dancers that just love the turns, that love the spins, and that's where we would go on Wednesdays to meet out and dance, because there was really, that was it. There was nothing else going on. Mm. So yeah, I've seen it grow tremendously. Yeah.
What would you say has been like the most rewarding aspect of running dance studios, and what has been the most challenging aspect?
I think the most rewarding is seeing a beginner come in for the first time. And then maybe 6 months to a year later, being at a social, sitting up in the DJ booth there and looking out and seeing that same person that remember him taking his beginner steps is now taking a lady out and leading her around at the turns. And there's a smile on his face, a smile on her face, and he's having a good time. I mean, that brings me the most joy. I mean, I sit up in the DJ booth and I look at that and I'm like, man, I remember when that girl first started. Or I remember when that guy first his first class, and now look at him, he's out there, he's meeting friends. I mean, to me, that's the most probably rewarding of it, is watching some, like yourself, look at you, man. I remember when did you start?
I started in May of 22.
So yeah, you're about two and a half years in. Yeah, so look at, bro, you're a prime example of what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You started, and look at you now, man. You get out there and you freaking jamming on the floor now. I mean, and you could dance pretty much any dance, salsa, bachata, you could dance on too. That's what I'm telling you. That's what brings me the most joy, is to see that. Yeah, and it's also the community of dancers too. It's also bringing people together. It's a sense of friendship. It's a sense of, a belonging. It's as part of a group, and it's that interaction with people. I remember one lady at the Maitland classes, I'll never forget this, about 10 years ago. She pulled me out after one of the Maitland classes, and she says, "Mike, do you have a minute I could talk to you?" I said, "Sure." So I, she just started. She was taking the classes for about maybe 4 months or so. She goes, "I just want to let you know," she says, "that I was in a very depressed state." She goes, "I just got over a devastating divorce." And she goes, "I was thinking about ending my life." She goes, "I was just had it. I was done with everything." And she goes, "I was at my most desperate point, and my therapist said, or my psychologist said, I need an outlet. I need to go and do dancing or find something where you could be around people." So she looked us up and she came to one of the classes and she just fell in love with it. She started connecting with people. She was moving, she was dancing. And she was just, you know, and when she started telling me this, I got kind of choked up too. And she was starting to cry and tear up. She goes, "This has brought so much joy to my life." She goes, "Thank you so much. I've met so many wonderful people here." And that was like, I was like, okay, that is what really brings me joy when I hear that, you know, because we get all different types of people that come in for all different types of reasons. You know, we get like this woman who was divorced, depressed. We get people that really want to learn and take their dancing to the next level. We get people that just want to come and interact. And, you know, look, we look, some people come in just for exercise to, you know, get a little workout during the week. So there's a lot of different reasons why people come in to take the class.
Yes, also he seems to be the very welcoming, open place for all levels and mm-hmm. people of all walks of life. You certainly can feel that if you go to Maitland community, mm-hmm. they are, you know, a group of people who are very tight. Mm-hmm. You know, they're hanging exactly. out together, they're going to yes. birthdays, they're celebrating each other, they're supporting each other. So this is great. And why do you think people relate to this studio that way particularly? Do you think it's just the way it's set up by design like this, or do you think it's just
No, I think it's an interaction. I think it's just our instructors, they make the classes fun. We like to interact with the students. The students interact with each other. "Hey, how you doing? What's going on, man?" Every time I'm in Maitland or here, I mean, and I see two students come in, they always embrace, hug, and a kiss. It's that connection, you know? Life is stressful, you know? People work their 9-to-5 jobs. Life is rough sometimes. And, right. and I love the fact that this is a place where people could come and just forget about life, forget about all the crap going on in the world, and just be amongst friends, have a good time, dance, enjoy each other, enjoy each other's company. I mean, to me, that, you know, I think that's what makes it so, would draw so many people here, you know?
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that about it.
As far as salsa dancing itself, looking at how it changed over the years, I'm curious to kind of get your take on it, where it has been when you were getting started, where it is now. How mm-hmm. do you see, like, I guess, its evolution and where you think it's going in the future?
That's a good question. Well, yeah, it was mostly, I come from a kind of a ballroom world, so it was a lot of mambo, and then it depends on where we live. Like down in South Florida, it was a lot of Cuban, so it was a lot of casino, Herrera. Mm-hmm. The style was casino salsa. But a lot of the turns that we do, there have been pretty traditional turns. They've stuck around. I mean, the style, I think, hasn't really changed much in the last maybe 15 years or so. So where it's going, I don't know. It's always hard. People ask me that a lot, you know. To be honest with you, if you would ask me 15 years ago, where do you think salsa is going to be? I'd be like, man, I just hope it just stays alive, because if salsa goes out and this kind of dies out, this is just a fad, then, you know, we're kind of screwed. Right. You know, this is what we do. So, but I remember this older gentleman telling me, this old guy, he was like, "Don't worry, man, salsa is never going to go die out. It's not going anywhere." And he kind of reassured that to me. He's like, and I think he's right. I think it's going to be around for a long time. But as far as the styles, I mean, people develop different styles, but I think it's the standards are pretty much the same over the last 15, 20 years. I don't see much of a change, you know. Again, it depends on the style, casino style onto, you know, most of the basics are very much similar. Underarm turns, cross-by leads, inside turns. The mechanics and techniques are very similar in almost all the different styles, I guess you could say. So.
As far as dancing itself, because I'm curious to ask you questions pertaining to the, you know, the art of dancing, right? The actual process. What would What would make, from your opinion, what would make a great dance when you're dancing with someone in general? What would, like, what would take for you to feel walking away from the floor and telling yourself, wow, that was a great dance?
I think it's connection. It's connection with the person you're dancing with. Of course, yeah, they got to dance too. They got to dance. I mean, it's for me, it's the follow. Very light, just connecting with them. Like anything you throw at them, it's just like, I always describe it as, you know, I don't know how old you are, but I remember the cars back in the day when they had no power steering. Mm-hmm. They were really hard to turn and all that. And then power steering came out and it was very easy. It's almost similar to that. If you've ever driven a car that has no power steering, you know what I'm talking about. But just very, very light, smooth. You have that connection. That, to me, that's an amazing, you know, an amazing dance. Amazing 3 minutes.
So let's look deeper into it, because that's super interesting. What goes into connection? Specifically, if connection is a house full of bricks, what are the bricks? What's some of the bricks that you can highlight within that?
I think it's just the joy of, you know, her enjoying the dance too, you know, and it's just both of you is just having a good time, enjoying the moment, enjoying the dance, enjoying the passion of the dance. And like I said, anything you do, any move that you lead her into, she's there. She almost like can read your leads before you do them. So she's not anticipating, but she, you know, you just have that solid connection where anything you throw at her, she's ready for. And then with the music in the back, you know, it's kind of going through you, you feel that. That's the only way I could describe it. I can't really describe it any other way than that.
So then I guess if I'm a new dancer, mm-hmm. and if I have a hard time grasping what connection is, if I don't truly fully understand yet what I need to look for, what signs I need to look for in a body language, or how actual connection should feel like to begin with, are there any, you know, a specific bullet points like musicality or technique or, you know, eye contact or smiling, you know, like really specific ingredients that you think that the new person can take and say, okay, at least now I know more specifically what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And what bullet points I need to look for, mm-hmm. in order to really say, okay, I'm connecting or I'm not connecting. Mm.
That's a good question. Well, beginners, I mean, you can still have that connection as a beginner, I think. You know, I mean, you're not going to be able to do many patterns or turns or, you know, but yes, absolutely. You could be a beginner and still feel that connection. I remember my first couple classes and just doing basic turns, I felt like I was connected. I was like, wow, this is so cool. You feel like this is what it's all about. Yeah, I'm starting to get it and feel it. So mm-hmm. even at the beginner's levels, you could still feel that connection with a person. So but as far as I mean, I don't think even a beginner or an advanced, you could still have that connection and that passion. I think it all boils down to the passion of the dance and the love for it, you know, and having a good time with it. That's what it is to me. I've seen dancers out here at a social and they just do basic stuff, nothing too difficult. And they're having the biggest smiles and having the best times. Mm-hmm. You know, I get a lot of older couples that come in that are up in their 60s and 70s. I have this one guy that comes in, Pete and his wife, they're up in their 70s, and he doesn't do much, but man, he's out there just enjoying himself, having the best time, biggest smile on his face. I mean, I like watching him, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. As opposed to the guy that's leading a girl into 50 turns over there that, you know. So it's all personal, you know, your personal passion and personal preference on how you want to dance and your style.
So you mentioned moves, and some guys, I know I was one of them, I'm guilty of it in the beginning, really thinking that moves is what really makes up the dance. So my emphasis was primarily on moves.
Yeah.
What do you think, how a new guy, specifically, you know, a new lead can approach that, right? Because you talked about connection, and I think mm-hmm. when we come into these classes, we learn a lot of moves. So mm-hmm. I think we automatically think that we need to do moves.
Moves, yeah.
To create that connection, right?
Right, right.
That's, I guess, what I'm trying to get at. Like, you know, being a new dancer, trying to learn those moves and thinking that that's really the secret sauce.
Well, I think the moves are a tool to get into that phase. I mean, you got to learn steps. I mean, of course, you got to start and learn basic patterns, you got to get going, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, so I think the steps and the patterns are a tool to get you to be able to, you know, move a lady around, to lead her properly, and to learning those techniques so you could develop that connection and that passion for it. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, you got to learn the steps. So that's why we teach that. And then hopefully that develops, you develop your own styling, you develop your own sense of style and your own artistic way of dancing, you know, what suits you. Mm-hmm. So we always say that, you know, we teach you the patterns, but you guys could take what you want. I mean, we have people that come in and take the class and they'll go through intermediate one and that's it. They just want to learn a few patterns just to come to their social and just dance around. They don't care about doing all these crazy turn patterns. That's fine. If that's all you want. I mean, some ladies just want to learn basic inside turns and just be able to, you know, be able to follow a gentleman on the dance floor. That's fine. That's, you know, if that's what you want, that's fine. So it's all up to personal preference and how much you want to get out of it, I guess I should say. So
how much time when you were learning, how much time did you spend individually practicing versus doing partner work?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was in front of the mirror a lot practicing. In the beginning, yeah. Yeah, I was, I would put salsa on, practice spins, shines, hook turns, like till late. So I did it a lot because I loved it. That's the thing. You gotta love it. And I practiced a lot on my own. And then it was mostly going out back then, just dancing almost 3-4 times a week. We went out dancing till late in the night. So I practiced a lot.
Is there a particular time period that you can think of that you took after which you started feeling comfortable? Do you remember like actually telling to yourself, maybe after 2 years or 3 years or whatever that time frame was, okay, I actually feel like I got it now, or at least I feel like I can do it?
Yeah, it was probably, I always tell people, you know, especially the guys, give it at least a year. That's coming consistently. But for me, yeah, it was probably after a couple of years. And then when I used to go out dancing back then and the girls used to come up and grab me, they take them out. That's when I figured, okay, I think I'm starting to get this because they wanted to dance with me. And they, you know, they tell you, oh, I love the way you lead me. And, you know, so that's how you could kind of gauge. But probably maybe two years or so, you know, that's consistently going out, I would say. You got to develop that smoothness, you know, it takes a while to get that.
So you're known for that, by the way. Oh, you know, you're kind of like almost gliding, mm-hmm, on the dance floor, you know. Some people even called you Smooth Mike.
Okay. I didn't know that one. That's a new one. I didn't know that one.
I made that up, but literally.
I'm going to tell my wife that. Honey, you know, I'm Smooth Mike. Did you know that?
But in all honesty, if people see you dance, like they will see it's really smooth transitioning, the moves, yeah. It like everything fits.
Yeah.
Did you work on that part of your dancing particularly, like being a smooth dancer?
Yeah. That was the hours I used to practice, you know, just practicing turns and practicing footwork, being light on your feet. I mean, because I looked at certain, when I went back then, I remember going out, there was 3 or 4 guys that I used to watch dance and I used to just love their style. And this one guy was so smooth with his turns and how he, I was like, I want to be like that guy. And I used to just watch him and, you know, and I just kept practicing and you develop it over time. It's like anything, golfing, tennis, anything, you know, if you're practicing hours and hours on end, of course you're going to get better at it. You know, it's like with any trade or any profession, but it's a lot of practice, a lot of hours on the floor, for sure.
Well, what's also what I'm interested in is understanding the intention behind anything that you do. So meaning I can practice a move and then execute it many different ways. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in order, I'm wondering from your perspective, when you're doing these moves and maybe you are focusing on being as smooth as you possibly be, is it just comes natural and you apply it to all moves as is, or is there some sort of process that you figure out in order to be specifically smooth, you know, or is just the way you dance, you know?
Well, I don't know. It depends on the follow. It depends on the girl I'm dancing with. I, you know, most of the girls that we dance, I know where they're at level wise, so I won't do anything. You know what I mean? I always want to make sure they're having a good time. So that my focus is on them. I want to make sure they're smiling. I want to, you know, have them get the best experience out of 3 minutes. You know what I mean? It's not about me. I want them to have a good time. So I kind of gauge where I could tell when I start dancing within the first like 5 seconds or so where she's at level wise. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's a beginner student, of course, I'm not going to do any kind of crazy turns. So it's just gauging where she's at and just kind of working around her level. You know, that's, you know, and you do that, she'll love you for that. I see a lot of guys trying to lead girls into, and it's, you know, they're not, and they feel uncomfortable because they don't know what they're doing. They feel confused. Just dance to her level, you know, and make her have a good time, and that's it. And you'll be a hero.
So this is actually a great point, because a lot of times, even here in Tulsa Heat, I see someone who is just grabbing a lady. They might not know her, and then they just, I'm guilty of it for sure. I've done it in the past.
We all have. Yeah.
You know, and I've just started doing moves. But what, is there specific things that you do to figure it out? Is it just based on how the connection feels? Like you just know it right off the top?
Right away, yeah. Okay. How she takes her rock step, how deep she steps into her rock step, and how light she is. Right away you get, you know, as soon as you get her in your arms and she starts gliding, okay. Go up and dance, you know.
Yeah.
I just do cross by lead. I know right away. Okay. And you know, I know most of the ladies that come here, and I'm sure you get to know them. You know, a lot of girls at the socials. And but even if you go to a congress in another city, you could gauge that and tell, you know.
Right.
So absolutely, yeah, you could tell right away.
Yeah. Well, what's really cool about this is that before I didn't even pay attention, or I wasn't aware of those things. Mm-hmm. Right. So I was. Because I still did not have like a solid base. I feel like I was just trying to stay above water and do my own moves.
Right, because you're going to take her out with an intention like, oh, okay, I'm going to lead her into this, this, and this, and this.
Right.
Yes.
Because, well, I still wasn't, you know, like, like fully confident in what I was doing.
Right.
Right.
I understand.
And now when I'm more confident in what I'm doing, now I can pay attention a little bit more to the other person. Mm-hmm. And things that you talk about make a different type of sense because the moment that I feel her weight on me, I already can tell, okay, that, you know, she does not feel light.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I give her a turn and she's not sharp on that turn, or if she's taking big step, right, or off balance, right?
Yes.
There's signs like that. But I think those things are so important, you know, when, especially for new dancers who are just starting to dance and they not try to be overly you know, aggressive or, you know, demanding from their partner, but they just simply don't know how to navigate those things, you know.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, you got to get it. I've been guilty of that 2 years ago when I started that, you know. I had in my mind what I'm going to lead the girl to, you know, instead of listening to the music and just having fun with it. You want to, it's dances about listen, you know, you're listening to music and moving to the music. And you know, I think that's the mistake sometimes, is that, you know, they got patterns stuck in their mind, a lot of guys, and they and instead of listening to the music. But it's a natural thing. But that's the thing, like you said, over time now you're learning. You see how you're growing and you're learning and dancing, that okay, now you're kind of catering to her and seeing what she could do, and you're not, you don't have that preset in your mind what you're going to do. You're just going to have fun and lead her what she could do. So, absolutely.
As far as follows go, I know we addressed different aspects when it comes to leads.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the ladies, what's some of the things that you've noticed, you know, just from your time even here at Tulsa Heat, that they can do better, especially when they're starting out? You know, is there some common themes that you mentioned with the ladies? Not just on the dance floor, just in general, you know, as far as dancing goes, that maybe common mistakes or common things that happening with beginners, you know?
Beginners, probably the first thing is just keep your head up. I think a lot of ladies drop their head down too much. Just keeping your head up, keeping your body weight over the balls of your feet. Timing is very important, being on time for the music. If they got those basics down, I mean, the guy could pretty much lead almost into anything. Basic turns, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that keeping that posture up, head up, and that's what we learned in ballroom. Posture was the first thing that we've learned. And, you know, and just having a sense of balance, too. I mean, if you have balance, posture, the right form, the right connection with the points of contact, I mean, you're gonna be fine. And just learning, and then just developing your balance and developing your turns over time. You learn balance over time. It doesn't come easy. It's gonna take you. I always tell ladies, like, do double turns. You know, plan on, you know, at least a year, year and a half, maybe up to 2 years, some or even longer. So learning your sense of balance, your hook turns, to do a double hook turn, it's gonna take, you know, you're not gonna do it in beginner's one, you know? So these things take time, as you know.
Well, I didn't realize how long of a time those things
take. It is, yeah. Yeah, it takes a long time. And that's practicing a lot too. I mean, you know, you come a lot to the socials and stuff. It does take a long time. And I tell guys, I go, listen, if you take classes once a week and you don't come to the social, coming to a social or going out dancing somewhere and practicing is crucial if you want to get better in your dancing. Coming to a class 1 hour once a week is not going to, I mean, maybe you just do it for fun, but it's not going to cut it. You're not going to really grow in your dancing, you know, so.
So there are different schools of thought when it comes to training in socials. I've heard people say you should establish foundation just through training first and make sure your technique is correct and everything prior to going to social dancing. I heard other people say you should be doing as much social dancing as possible. Mm. You know, what do you take on that? It sounds like you're a big proponent on social dancing, but what do you think the best balance is? Like, how much should you practice versus how much you should be social dancing?
Oh, from the beginning, you should be social dancing. I don't think there should be any, you shouldn't wait. You should start right away, especially if you love it. I mean, if you're doing the beginner's one class and you got a basic underarm turn down, I tell people, come to the social and just practice an inside turn, a cross body lead, and underarm turn. Just let the lady know that you're taken out and say, listen, I'm beginners. And most ladies are really great here. Yeah, no problem. I'll dance with you. And just practice those over and over again. Get the practice time because you're developing balance, you're developing posture, you're developing all these techniques. Even from the beginning levels, you got to start somewhere and just keep doing that. Just keep practicing and practicing and practicing. I don't care who the lady is, just take them out. Even if you do a basic step back and forth, you're practicing. So yes, absolutely. From day one, you should be at a social practicing. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I don't believe in you should wait a certain amount of time before going to social. That's crazy. I mean, I don't know. It's like with anything. You want to get going, you know? Yeah. You got to get started.
Right,
you
know? Right. Practice makes...
Exactly.
Yeah. With guys, I know I'm going to use myself as an example. There's definitely a psychological factor when you go to socials, especially in the beginning. And you could be comparing yourself with other people.
It's very intimidating, yes.
Yes. You could be under pressure, your own pressure, you know, of getting on a dance floor. And I know that you've actually gave me a valuable piece of advice on that before, but I definitely would like to ask you that, you know, what do you think that, you know, a new lead should do who is definitely maybe an introvert to begin with, who's already intimidated by people looking at him and who doesn't quite feel confident yet with any of the aspect of his dancing.
Yeah. You know, some I still get intimidated too. Like if I go to a Congress, even my own Congress, and you know, some of these, we got some amazing follows, these ladies that come in that are on, these pros that come in, and like, I'm even a little scared to dance because they're so amazing, you know? So I get intimidated still today. And I did way back then when I first started, but I mean, I would just say this is one of the wonderful things about socials is because everybody's here to dance. It's not like going to a club. Everybody's learning. And that's the great thing. And I think a lot of ladies understand that. And that's why they're so great. A lot of the ladies that come here is that I'll sit in the back here. And some of these ladies that have been dancing for years, they're awesome. They'll take out a beginner and they'll dance with them. And, you know, and just get out there as much as possible. I know it's very intimidating, but you can't feel that way. You just got to step out and do it. And once you do it over time, you'll get to know the people. And that's the great thing about socials. You get to know the people here and you see them dancing. You get to understand their style. And then, hey, how you doing? Yeah. You know, we danced last week. Okay. Let's dance again. You dance with them a couple times at that social. So that's why I love the social atmosphere. It's so much different for a club. You're not dealing with people you don't, you know, never seen before. So, that's one of the benefits, I think, of that. But yeah, you got to just get out there and do it. You know, I know it's intimidating, but just get out there, practice.
I think you're going to take some L's, you know, losses.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah, I've been rejected. Well, I don't know how many times I've been like, you know, asking me to dance and they're like, no, okay, you move on to the next one.
You get rejected?
Oh yeah.
What
well,
do you
it's
mean?
Funny when I go out to like a couple times when I, you know, travel and stuff, and I check out the local. You know, here comes this white dude coming and asking me to dance, and girls are like, you know, I always get that. Okay. And then I grab another girl and I start dancing, and then they're like, then they come and they're like, oh, I got that. I used to get that a lot. I'm like, oh, I didn't know you knew how to dance. I'm like, oh, yeah. So, you want to dance now?
You should just deny them and say you lost.
You know, I think about it, but I'm like, no, I'm not going to be that mean. I'm in another area. I don't know. So I'm like, yeah, we'll dance. So I get that a lot. But it's fun.
That's so funny. Where do you go when you get rejected?
I'm talking about back in the day when I used to travel, and you know, I used to go to, you know, different cities and stuff like that. And I would, the first thing I would do is Google, you know, Latin clubs, or, and I'd go out, and that was always fun, you know, going out to Latin clubs and not knowing anybody and taking people to dance. Oh yeah, I got rejected all the time, so it was fun.
You mentioned Orlando Salsa Congress. Mm. When you were talking, and that's an event that you pretty much like work with every year, right?
Yeah, so I'm partners with Frank and Jose Luis from Born in Salsa. We've been doing it, I think this is 18 years now. This is our 18th, I think. So yeah, we've been doing it. We're partners, and love the event. It's one of the, they say, I don't know, but I think it's one of the top three congresses in the US now. So yeah. It's a great event. And now we have the Latin Crown, which we do a competition before that, which we've added. This is, last year was the first year we did that, which is, we're hoping that's going to grow too. So it'll expose salsa to the competition world, mm-hmm. which is nice. So,
how did that start, the Congress in particular? Did you guys just get together and just decided to do this big event, or wasn't it as big in the first few years?
Oh yeah, it was very small the first couple of years, but they had the Miami Salsa Congress, I think was going on for a couple of years. There was the what they call the IHSC, which was one run by Billy Fajardo. It was the whole idea of the Congress where all these dancers come together in a hotel where there's classes all during the day, and then the parties at night, the showcases at night. Like I said, the Miami Congress was going on for 2 years, and I got together with Frank and Jose Luis, and we talked about it. And we started at the Rosen Plaza. I think it was 2007 was our first year. And yeah, it was really small ballroom. And that's how it started. And it just kind of grew from there. Yeah.
What does it take to run an event of this magnitude? I mean, I imagine it would take a lot of resources and your time, but from a business perspective, is it something that you had to learn? Did you just had like natural knack for it?
On the job training.
Okay.
Yeah. On the job training, dealing with the hotels, learning how the hotels work as far as like sales with them. You have to sell a certain amount of rooms for the hotel. So there's a lot of factors involved in there. But yeah, just on the job training and developing relationships with the hotels, and Jose Luis developing relationships with all the instructors that we bring in. That's a big part of it. Well, that's more his department. And Frank, which does all the sound and all the DJs and the technical entertainment part of it. And we have a great combination because I deal with a lot of the hotel issues, and Frank does all the sound, and Jose Luis deals with the performances. So we have a great partnership for 18 years, and it's solid. It's a great event. Orlando Congress, July 1st. Check it out. July 1st to the 8th.
It is indeed an amazing event. Amazing event. It's actually, fun fact, it was the first event where I broke through a lot of things that I talked to you about.
Oh,
so
nice.
I just
nice.
Made myself get on the dance floor. And
yes.
Until then, it was really hard going for me. But 22, July 22, that's when I just pushed myself on the dance floor. I had some videos to show
great.
For that. I danced with Adriana, you know. I believe she used to be part of...
Adriana,
part of Salsa Heat as well.
Yes, absolutely.
And,
good dancer.
And you know what's interesting? Looking back at it, I can see how intimidated and how basic my dancing was.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to see the journey from there, right?
Exactly.
So it's always... it's good to have actual visual proof, mm-hmm. right? And to think back, okay, I was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and, yeah, exactly. See how you've grown? You could see that, yeah.
And you know, some of the questions that I was asking, I think, is because I just imagined that many guys would feel similar way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because in the beginning, it's just a lot of things happening, you know.
Yes, and you know, and a Congress could be very intimidating. Very intimidating because there's so many amazing dancers there. So, you know, don't let that stop you if you're a beginner student. You know, come and experience it. And, you know, and that's what I used to do when I first went to Congress years ago. I would sit back and look at one of those great dancers and be like, man, it encourages you and motivates you. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Don't feel intimidated. Like, oh, I'm not at that level. I can't go to a Congress. No, you could come and learn, take the workshops. You're going to grow and learn in some way. You'll experience something. You'll see a show that'll be like, wow, that guy's amazing. I want to learn his style or something like that. So yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give to someone who is interested to have their own dance studio one day?
Don't do it. Don't do it.
What do you mean,
don't
man?
Do it.
What do you mean? I thought that you happy man doing this, man.
Don't do it. No. Wow.
Unexpected.
Yeah. Well, I think you gotta have a passion for the dance. I mean, it depends on what type of business you want to own, but if you want to open up a salsa school, you got to have a passion for the dance. That's probably number one, which is product knowledge. You got to know the product. You got to know how to teach. Because I see a lot of good dancers that try and open up a school, but they're not necessarily good teachers, and vice versa. And I've seen a lot of great teachers that aren't necessarily the best dancers. So I think you got to have a combination of both those, and you got to have a business sense too. You got to know business. I mean, because it's a business at the end of the day. I mean, so I think you need those three things. You need a passion for it. You need to have knowledge on how to teach, how to break down steps, how to engage with people, how to teach a fun class, how to interact with people. And then you got to know the business side of it. I mean, those are crucial. So I think there's a notion where, okay, I know how to dance salsa pretty good. I'm going to go now and open my own school. And it's not that easy. I've seen a lot of people try it and a lot of people fail at it because you may be a great, awesome dancer, but you don't know how to, you have no marketing skills or how to connect with people, or you don't have a business sense on how to run a business, or you just don't know how to teach. So there's a lot of factors and it's not that easy. People think it's so easy, you know, and it's really not.
I wouldn't imagine that it's easy at all.
Yeah, it's difficult. You're dealing with a lot of people. You're dealing with a lot of our instructors. And I got to say, we have a great team of instructors. We really do. Some of our instructors have been with us 15, 20 years. So we have a great team. And I'm so blessed to have the instructors we have. I really am.
I'm sure they feel this similarly about having you as you know, the head guy.
It's huge. Your instructors, because think about it. I mean, if you have a salsa school, your assets are your instructor. I mean, that's them. I mean, they're the ones that are out there teaching, and they're amazing. I mean, I can't speak highly enough about them.
How do you keep them happy? How do you develop relationship to where they want to stay? Because, I mean, this is nothing to sneeze at. This is extremely difficult, I would think, to keep somebody for more than a decade as your employee. What's the ingredients, you know, to be successful in that regard?
I mean, just being flexible with them. You know, I give them a little bit of leeway when they teach, you know. They teach the syllabus, but, you know. And I think a lot of them, they just enjoy it too. Like when I started, they have the passion for it. They have the passion for dance, and they love being with people and teaching them. And it's a passion for teaching too. And they all have that. So they tell me all the time, they love their job. I mean, it's fun. It's a fun job. It really is. A fun job, and they love it. And it's an opportunity to make some money at it too. Mm-hmm. So, and I try and pay them good. I do. I pay them way more than a lot of other schools, I guess you could say, Pam. So I want to keep them happy. And because, hey, I don't want to lose them, because it's rough when you lose an instructor, because, you know, you have to retrain a new instructor. Yeah. It's a lot to train a new, like, trainee or a new instructor.
Right,
you
know, right.
How
right.
to conduct a class. There's a lot that goes into that.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned three things when it comes to business. And one of those things was business acumen. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what, like, let's say that I wanted to have business one day like this, just hypothetically, right? Mm-hmm. What do you think some of the maybe priorities, right, when it comes to business aspect specifically, that you were surprised by or you would do differently or definitely would want to know mm-hmm. when starting a business?
Well, I mean, like, I do my own accounting here. Like, you got to know basic business, and you got to know how to, like, you know, fix stuff when stuff breaks. Like, in here, like, if the toilet backs up, mm-hmm. you got to go in there with a plunger and undo it. You're not going to call a plumber and pay $450 for it. Right. You know, if a plug is defaulty, you got to go, no, I know basic electrical. I know basic, you know, I know basic sound equipment. You got to know, you know, computers, basic stuff.
Right.
And, so, you know, it's accounting. It's just running the business. It's, making sure you have the staff here on hand to help you. And, so it's all those combined. It's all the combined, because I want to give our customers, the people that come in for the class or the social, the best experience. And I'm fanatic with that. I want to make sure our socials are like top of the line, A1, and, you know, everything's beautiful. The floor is perfect. The AC is good in here. The lighting, I want to make sure everything's perfect for the dancer, and that's what we cater to. So those are, you got to have those skills. Business is important too. Yeah.
There's a lot of moving parts.
There's a lot of moving parts that people don't realize. And people, that's the thing, people think it's easy. They come in there to see all these people and they're like, oh, you know, it's $15 a class and they get, I don't know, 100 people on a Friday, $1,500. I could do that. And I'm like, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. People don't see behind the scenes how much effort and work is put into a lot of it too. So
is there anything you can highlight that's been the hardest aspects of it? Because you talked about a lot of everyday things that you need to be able to take care of as a business owner. Is there any like major ticket items that just make or break?
No, I've gotten used to how to handle things, but you know, it's just basic everyday business stuff. Things break. We have issues with sometimes with an instructor, or, you know, now we do rentals here. So I do quinceañeras, and I have a wedding coming in today. Mm-hmm. So it's just dealing with them, contract stuff. So, you know, as far as the salsa side, I mean, it's just, you know, experience. It's just experience. It's keeping our team together too is probably not challenging, but that's probably the one thing that's that's important to me, is making sure we have a solid team and we're all on the same page with everything too. So, yeah.
One other thing I was wondering, I know we're probably getting close on time, but as far as Orlando dance scene, what's your thoughts on that with all the studios now here in Orlando?
Yeah,
you know, how do you look at that and evaluate that compared to
previously? I think it's great. You know, even though, yes, they're competitors in a sense, but I still think it's great because, you know, I remember when a school would open up and somebody would say, man, did you hear this other school open up? I'm like, that's great. That's great because they're building the product. They're building salsa. I mean, you know, that's a good thing. I mean, they're going out there and promoting salsa, they're promoting bachata, they're promoting dance socials, they're promoting, that's wonderful. And look at how it's grown. Even though we have all these other schools here and these other instructors, they come in from out of town and they open up or they start something, that's wonderful. That's great. I love the fact that our students are getting different options. I mean, people ask me all the time, hey Mike, what's on too? Should I do that? I'm like, go take a class with them. Go down the road, go experience it. I want you to be a better dancer. If you could learn something from them, wonderful. You know, mm-hmm. We'd love you to stay here. That's great. But if you want to go and join a team, another team, that's wonderful. Go ahead. I want you to learn and grow. So I think it's great. I think that this community has grown tremendously over the years, and I love it. I love it. Yeah.
Do you think, you mentioned sense of competition, mm-hmm. you know, here in Orlando. Do you think it's a competition to where it, how can I put it? Like, is it a good type of competition, or do you think that studio is trying to, like, you know, take students from one another? Have you seen anything like that?
No, I don't. It doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't bother me at all. We have a lot of our students go to other schools and join other teams, and, you know, they come here, back here, and perform. Mm-hmm. They perform, like our Christmas party we just had. Mm-hmm. I mean, I looked up on that stage, and I saw a lot of our old students on other teams, probably maybe five other teams are our students. And that's wonderful. I mean, that's great. Go and learn from other people. I think that's great. If you could grow somewhere else, that's fantastic. I mean, like I said, we'd love for you to join our team to stay with us. But man, all power to you if you want to join another team and learn from somewhere else. I think it's great. Yeah. No issues with that.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Well, I could talk to you forever. I really can. Oh, one other thing before I guess we wrap up. I was wondering about the internet and social media and how it impacted.
That was huge.
Salsa Heat.
Yeah, that's been big. Yeah, and my wife handles the Instagram stuff and a lot of the social media stuff. Because thank God, because I'm not too good with all that stuff. So she handled a lot of that. But that has been a huge factor. Yeah, and it's great because it keeps the community together. I mean, with all these chats and people. That keeps the dance community. Hey, where are you going tonight? Hey, we're going to go here. And I mean, and it just brings the community even closer together. So I think it's great. I love the social media thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I definitely wanted to take a moment to acknowledge you. Just there are definitely so many things that you do for the community. You talked about it earlier. Mm-hmm. And community is wonderful. I mean, mm-hmm. I can tell you firsthand that it's really incredible to see a group of people who come in from different walks of life.
They do.
Man, there's like IT people, there's engineers, there's nurses, there's, you know, lawyers, there's, you know, people who just work who would never meet otherwise.
Exactly.
You know, and I get the chance to interact with them. I mean, you know, there are people from other countries, from other states, and they all come here for this one thing, for dancing. And there are no differences.
No.
You know, it's all being erased, right? It doesn't matter what language, what culture, what beliefs, what anything. It's just we connect on the floor. And it's not only on the floor. We connect outside of classes, as I mentioned.
Yeah.
So I really want to acknowledge you for just building this type of community, because if it wasn't for Salsa Heat, many of these people would not have outlet. They would not have the opportunity to come together in that way, you know?
Yeah.
And there's something to be said about having not only an outlet, but feeling that you belong, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
And this is huge. So huge, huge kudos for that.
Thank you,
Plus, you know, the personal growth is another big aspect of that. Because there's something magical, I think, that happens when you dance and when you strive to be better at anything, but with dancing, it is very surprising to me how much you can learn and just how much it's like levels, like a game. Yes. It's like you walk in one door and you think, okay, I got a few moves, and then you realize, there's so much more. And then you realize, but hold on, my footwork is not good, but my balance could be better.
Right.
I mean, you know, my foundation isn't what it can be, right? So it's like you continue to expand, and it. What seems to be like a little pond in the beginning becomes an ocean all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And there's no end to this ocean.
Exactly. You can take it as far as.
Yes.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And, you know, it's definitely a form of art, right? So when I say levels, I also mean that certainly can someone just simply do social dancing. And if they're happy with that, they can stay there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Someone can go performance route, and that's going to, you know, turn up the you know, the things that they need to do,
right?
And notch, right? Then you can do competition if you want, right?
Yep.
Then I mean, the sky's the limit, really.
Exactly.
And so that pushes you to become better as an individual, to become more disciplined, to practice, you know, to be more diligent. And I think it's a wonderful thing, because this is definitely a type of personal growth that I didn't expect from dancing. And at the end, you still connect with music and with magic on the dance floor and with people. And so it's sort of like this wonderful, you know, I don't know how to put it. Like, it all comes around in the circle in a way.
Yeah.
You know? So I really want to acknowledge you for creating this amazing, you know, opportunities for people. And you probably... It seems like you understand the impact, but you may not know the full impact that
maybe
you make in the community, just because of, you know, everything else that people do outside of Salsa Heat and all the connections.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of the, I'm sure there's a lot, whole lot of stuff outside of it, but that's wonderful. Hey, that people are connecting like that. Yeah. And then just a side note, I don't know how many times when I've been out with my wife, Karen, we've been out to dinner. This has happened recently, and I'll have a guy come up to me like, hey, "You're Mike with Sasahi, right?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Oh my God, this is my wife here and three kids. We met at your class 10 years ago and now we have three kids." That happens to us all the time. I'll be out somewhere, we're getting coffee with my wife, or I'll be some, "Hey, Mike, you're Mike. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I met my wife in your class 4 years ago. We got married." And all the time happens to me. And I don't know how many times I don't know about that it happens too, that people have met too. We also had some kind of divorces and ugly stuff happen too, but you know, that's part of life. I'm not responsible.
You're responsible. You take responsibility only for the good ones.
Yes, bring it together. I'm not responsible if any breakups happen. That's not. Did you sign that waiver?
Nobody comes to you yet.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. That's like I said. This guy. Like I said, you could take your dance as far as you want, but you don't know. On the other side, you can also meet your future wife or husband here, or you know. So yeah, there's so many different opportunities, I guess, or you know, things you could reach here. So yeah,
thank you for taking the time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Creating this community.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it's been an honor. It's been an honor, and God willing, I could do it many more years. I love it, and I hope the community continues to grow, and you know, and I look forward to it. See what it's going to bring. I'm excited.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah.